all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Dr. David Shulkin. Dr. Shulkin was the 9th Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and we are thrilled to have you on the program to talk about a number of issues, including your new book that's out, It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, Our Broken Government and the Plight of Veterans. Dr. Shulkin, welcome to Veterans Radio.
I'm glad to be here, Jim.
Well, the book's a fascinating read. I'm going to summarize this for folks. Most of our listeners on Veterans Radio know who you are as the Secretary of the VA, and that you spent time both as the Undersecretary of Veterans Affairs for Health under the Obama administration, and then were approved by Congress 100-0 in the Senate confirmation to be President Trump's Secretary of the VA, and you held that position till March of 2018, when President Trump, in his inevitable style, announced that you had been terminated by Twitter. And the book, I want to recommend the book to everybody. It shouldn't be this hard to serve your country, because it's fascinating to get an inside look at the politics at that level of the game for the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. But Mr. Secretary, what I'd like to spend some time on, because you're uniquely qualified to talk about this, are two broad areas. And we'll start with healthcare. You are an experienced health care management professional, and that's what you did in the private sector before you got drawn into the Washington, D.C. world. Give us your snapshot on the VA system as it provides healthcare, its pluses, its minuses, its strengths, its weaknesses, if you would.
Well, first of all, I have spent most of my career running healthcare institutions in the private sector. And when I was asked in 2014 to consider coming to the VA, then by the Obama administration, I was entering during the time of the wait time crisis, when we were seeing really a horrible situation where veterans couldn't get access to the care they needed. And in Phoenix, there were allegations that up to 40 veterans were dying. And that was really one of the reasons why I wanted to go, to try to help this situation, which I think most of us as Americans who were sitting on the sideline were horrified by. And when I got to the VA, I wasn't sure whether I was going to find such a broken system that the best thing to do was just to recommend, let's close it up and get all these veterans out to the private hospitals where they could be helped. And so I joined the VA, and one of the first things I did, I'm a physician, I put on my white coat and I started to see veterans, and I traveled around the country and, you know, took care of veterans and spoke to people. And I soon realized that what we're doing in the VA system is actually very different than what you find in the private sector. And in fact, it would be a terrible decision for veterans just to simply close the VA and voucher out our veterans. That the VA is there because it understands veterans, because it delivers services that aren't available in the private sector, and it really is doing tremendous things. And that isn't to say there aren't problems, because in a system this big, the largest healthcare system in the country, there are going to be problems. And we're going to need to work to make the system better. But it's a system that I believe is worth saving.
Well, as you say, it's a unique system, because not just the population it serves, but because of the problems that population have, some of the disease processes that you just don't see in the civilian world. Maybe you can speak to some of that for us.
Yeah. You know, the VA, for what it does, it provides services that aren't always available in the private sector. And so some of those are ones that won't surprise people: traumatic brain injury, the care of post-traumatic stress, prosthetics, orthotics, rehabilitation programs, the exposures to toxic chemicals, but its system of behavioral health care and primary health care done at such a comprehensive level just is not readily available in many communities across America. And these systems are really developed because they understand the needs of veterans and are applying their services in an environment that makes veterans feel welcome and comfortable.
One of the things that's mentioned in different passages of your book, It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, Secretary Shulkin, is about the research that's done by the VA that I don't think gets enough attention. When you went into the system from the private sector, were you surprised at the level of research that's done by the VA?
I was, and this research is all dedicated to helping improve the lives of veterans, and it's doing some really tremendous work today, doing work in suicide and substance abuse and in delivering and improving the health of conditions that affect veterans all over. But what I think most Americans don't understand is that while this research helps veterans, it has impacted the lives and continues to impact the lives of every American. So the first liver transplant was done in a VA medical center, the hemodialysis machine for renal failure, the cardiac defibrillator that saves thousands of people's lives, the nicotine patch for smoking cessation, the association that if you take an aspirin a day, that it may prevent heart attack. These are all things that were found using VA research, and including things like the CAT scanner. The original research for the CAT scanner was done at the VA. So this continues to be a way to improve the lives of all Americans.
One of those other research areas that I didn't realize existed until I was reading the book is VA has a brain bank, and I can't pronounce what CTE stands for, but I, you know, everybody who's a sports nut kind of knows that that's a big problem for football players and others. Tell us a little bit about that unique aspect of VA research.
Well, it was a VA researcher, Dr. McKee, who works in our Boston VA Medical Center, who actually discovered that what happens when veterans undergo head trauma, like with what we've seen in our recent conflicts with traumatic brain injury, the brain actually changes in something called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. You can see those changes under a microscope pathologically. What she has found is that this type of change that we see with veterans who undergo head injury is actually the same change that happens in football players who are knocking their heads. And this leads to premature dementia, or, you know, lack of, it sort of looks like an Alzheimer's type of condition. And so now that we can identify this and know that this is happening, we can start to think about ways to prevent it and ways to treat the condition. And so Dr. McKee has the largest physical collection of brains in the world to help this research. And so veterans and football players that can sign a pledge that when they pass, that they want their brain donated to the brain bank at the VA so that we can continue to learn and find new ways to prevent this terrible disease.
Another area that I think many people, and again, when you read the book and understand more about VA, you don't realize in the healthcare area how much training VA does, VA healthcare, hospitals, medical centers do. And again, that spills out to the whole community well past veterans, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is one of the areas that I often shake my head at when I hear people saying we don't need a VA system, because I'm not sure they understand the reliance that the rest of the country has on training so many healthcare professionals. It's said that up to 70% of all doctors who graduate from U.S. medical schools will spend part of their training at a VA medical center. I know as a physician, I trained three VA medical centers during my career. But VA is also the largest educator of nurses, of psychologists, of social workers, of pharmacists in the country. And so these trainees get great training and then go out hopefully some of them stay in the VA system, but the majority of them go out and work in hospitals and communities all throughout the country.
So here's the hard question, Dr. Shulkin. As the former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, as you look at the healthcare system, what are the top three problems that still need to be addressed to make the system better than it is today?
Clearly, the top priority that I identified and the VA has continued to identify as a top priority is veteran suicide. With 20 veterans a day taking their life, that's a horrific number, and it really shows that we need to be doing much, much more to begin to address that. And when you address this issue, you have to look at some of the underlying issues of depression, post-traumatic stress, substance abuse, chronic pain. And so this whole area of brain health is really an area that we need much more research and effort focused on to be able to solve things. I also think that one of the areas that we've learned a lot in VA and we need to continue to focus on is that a person's health is not just their physical condition, but it is related to their environment around them. So when you try to really improve a person's life, you have to look at their medical condition, but you also have to look at their socioeconomic condition, their psychological condition, their spiritual issues, and look at a person holistically. And we need to continue to focus on that, ending veteran homelessness, making sure that people can afford the medications that we give them, that they have transportation to and from their visits. And I think the VA is doing a good job of that and needs to continue to focus on that. And then the third area I would pick would be this new burgeoning area of personalized medicine. This is where we match a person's treatment to what their DNA tells us is individualized about that person's genetic makeup. And that will help us target better treatments to what works for an individual. And as we begin to get more sophisticated and spread this program out through the VA, I think that we will begin to have a bigger impact on helping more people.
That's a fascinating issue. I wish we had 30 minutes just to talk about that, and maybe someday you'll be willing to come back and do that.
Sure.
I want to move to the other big area that I mentioned. VA obviously has this huge role in veteran health care, but it also has a significant role for a lot of veterans relative to benefits, disability benefits. And you were working in the areas of reforming some of that and dealing with presumptions. So, again, this is a unique opportunity for us to hear from the Secretary of the VA about your thoughts on the benefits system, which, again, when you transitioned from the private side to the public side, this had to be new, so you were able to look at it with fresh eyes. Would you mind talking about your views on VA's disability benefit programs?
Yeah, the benefits program, which is to provide people with disability benefits and other benefits that they earned as a result of their service, I think is the area that may need even the most reform in VA. And having come in as a healthcare professional and not necessarily a person who understood this benefits area, I had a lot of education and learning to do to bring myself up to speed. And I have to say that I believe we currently have our system backwards, where too many veterans are fighting the VA for the benefits that they deserve, and it's an adversarial relationship. And I believe what we need to do is to flip that around, that the VA should be there advocating and helping our veterans instead of having to put them through endless bureaucratic loopholes of trying to fight and prove for their services. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, we still have Vietnam veterans that in the thousands are still today fighting to get the benefits that they deserve through exposure to Agent Orange. And that's something that, frankly, is just not fulfilling our responsibility as a country to those veterans. And then we see this being repeated in our Gulf War veterans with the burn pits and the Gulf War illness, the veterans having to fight for the benefits they deserve. And I just think there's a better way of doing this. And I had started to work on a plan that would reform this program and had called in all the other previous secretaries of the VA who were kind enough to come in, who I knew had thought and worked on this issue, so that we together could begin to start putting forth a program to reform this. And unfortunately, then my tenure got cut short and I wasn't able to see those efforts really be fulfilled. But I continue to hear directly from so many veterans who are still fighting for these benefits, and I'll continue to advocate for them and hopefully in a positive way contribute to us finding a better solution for dealing with this.
It's so important to hear from somebody at who has served as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. Shulkin, that the concerns of those veterans, and let's talk specifically about Blue Water Navy veterans who have been really, I think, treated horribly on this Agent Orange exposure. And you were the book, anybody who's interested in this issue should will really get a lot out of the book, because it shows the insight in the all the moving around and what OMB does to kill good ideas. But to hear that you say that there needs to be reform and those veterans shouldn't have to be fighting over those issues, and if you're one of the new guys out of Afghanistan, as we look at burn pits, I'm afraid we're going to do to our veterans with burn pit exposure what we did to them on Agent Orange. And I got a sense from reading it shouldn't be this hard to serve your country. You have similar concerns.
Oh, I think we're seeing a repeat exactly of that situation. And the policy is the same, which is that we put the burden of proof on the veteran. And while that burden of proof of either the scientific evidence or the documentation of where they serve gets, you know, just continues to be debated, the veteran has to wait. And, you know, these veterans are waiting so long that unfortunately many of them are dying off and not ever seeing their country honor their obligation to them. And, you know, one of the issues I dealt with when I was secretary were World War II veterans. You know, these men, mostly men in their 90s, who claim that they were involved in programs where they were being tested and exposed to agents like mustard gas to make sure that we understood what we'd be facing when we went into Europe. But these programs were so secret that the records didn't exist, you know, in these top secret programs. And yet, because they didn't exist, we were making these veterans essentially wait, and many of them die without ever the recognition of what they gave to this country. And I just, when I heard about this, I gave them all waivers. I said, this just isn't right. You know, I know they may not be able to prove it, but these are honorable people who served, and I'm going to take them at their word rather than make them continue to, you know, not be allowed to be honored for the service that they gave. And so that's what I mean when I say we have this backwards, and I think we have to look at a better way of dealing with our veterans who come back and need our help.
So let me ask you the same question I did in the healthcare as we come to winding up here on the benefit side, and that is to ask, what are those top three issues then that you either started working on or you believe the department needs to be working on going forward?
Well, besides the overall review and reform of our system, I think the very specific issues that I'm focused on are the Agent Orange presumptives that have come out, where the National Academy of Science has looked at this scientifically, and I believe that the data needs to be acted upon. Secondly, the Blue Water Navy veterans that, of course, I think we've made tremendous progress, and then the VA put a stay on these claims. And I think it's time that that stay be lifted and these claims to be processed. And then third would be the burn pit patients who are, 165,000, I think, are in the registry in the VA who all deserve to be dealt with in a fair and appropriate way.
We're talking to former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. David Shulkin. He was the 9th Secretary of the VA. His book is It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, Our Broken Government and the Plight of Veterans. And the book is replete with proof that we have a broken government and that politics enters in too much into this area under the current scheme of things. And I would encourage people to read it for that aspect as well. But Dr. Shulkin, I have to say that my image of you, my understanding of who Dr. Shulkin was when you were Secretary of the VA, unfortunately never really captured the full canvas of your experiences and what you were trying to do. So I think this book is really helpful for all of us to sort of remember the person that gets talked about in the press or on the news really isn't the person, is it?
Well, you know, thank you for saying that. But this book, even though it really is a personal story and I describe what I and my family went through, this book really isn't about me. And I certainly don't want anybody to think that this is about, you know, people trying to understand what I went through or feel sorry for what I went through. This is really a book that I dedicate to veterans. And to me, it's very important that this country do better in its service to veterans, the reason why I came to Washington in the first place. And the book's title, It Shouldn't Be This Hard to Serve Your Country, really has a double meaning. It's really meant that when people go off and sacrifice for their country and come back, and or in some cases don't get to come back, and they need the support of their country, it shouldn't be this hard. They shouldn't have to go through the hoops and the bureaucracy that they often do. And then secondly, the meaning of the title is that we need people who are willing to come and to serve either as career employees or as political appointees coming into government to make it better. And under the environment that we see today, and when you see the story that I went through, I worry whether people will continue to want to work in public service. And I worry about the environment that we have, because if we don't have the best and brightest coming, all of us are going to suffer, because we rely upon that in our government for private citizens who have experience and knowledge to come and to help make this a better place for our citizens. So I really do hope that this book is seen constructively in an effort to try to improve the system that we have.
And do I take it, Dr. Shulkin, that you intend to continue to be an advocate for veteran matters, healthcare matters, now that you're back out into the private sector?
I think once you have a chance to meet the men and women and their families that have volunteered or sacrificed so much, that it really is something that sticks with you for life. And I've said that I will remain committed to doing whatever I can to advocate for our veterans. And I believe it's an essential part of our national security system, that our system just doesn't work unless you treat these people well in the way that they are deserve to be treated. It's all part of a tightly integrated system. So I will remain committed to doing whatever I can to help them.
Well, the book is a good read. It'll give you that inside look into some of the politics, but more, it's got some big policy issues in it that the Ninth Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. David Shulkin, has been talking about here on Veterans Radio. Dr. Shulkin, thank you for spending some time today with Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.